Aloha and good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show right here on talk808.com. Appreciate you joining in and all those good things. Hope you've had a good week. And I'm going to continue my conversation, my talk on the Mauna Kea area. Now, I know there's so many other things to talk about, and I do have lots of new developments on things, but this Mauna Kea situation, the protests and all of that, and the way the state government is handling it, and it calls into question quite a bit of things. But from an environmental standpoint and those concerns, first of all, if you want to follow this show later on, go to carolcox.com. And you can pull it up there or go to talk808.com. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 808-782-6627, live on air. That'd be just fine with me. But I had some interesting developments this week. We had found through our UIPA requests and gathering a FOIA, some of you know it as, public records request. We found some interesting things and Facebooked it, and I think we had 500 at a minimum, 550 some shares, or probably more than 200 comments. Some of them were quite interesting, and I don't know what it is about people and just looking at something and accepting it for what it is on face value. Sometimes it's worth it, because the way you can digress by looking at it from a flipping it on its head and looking at it, you can go nuts and appear to be nuts and lacking intelligence or intellect. And so I saw a lot of that coming out in people. For example, one person said, you know, this is a picture now that it has tin pans, aluminum pans, you know, that you serving pans that you having a party outdoors or whatever, or your mother make you a basket of dressing or her one of her favorite dishes to send you home with, and you got that aluminum pan. Well, we found pictures where aluminum pans were being used to collect hydraulic fluid in one of the William H. Keck telescope that was leaking. Now, we don't have any professional background other than we've been involved in oil spill recovery, and we've filed many cases and complaints and investigated quite a few of them, are oil spills and illegal dumping and improper. And we do know that there are certain prescribed measures that you take and steps you take to prevent and to mitigate certain things. And I got to tell you, cooking pans is not one of them. But anyway, it was a half-baked idea, if you pardon the expression. But again, the people on the hill there at Mauna Kea, they want to present themselves as being such perfect academic scholars and what have you. And they're looking out at the stars, and then they challenge you by you having to deal with the low man on the totem pole who say that, well, those pictures that you have were fake. And what we have here is that Carol Cox could be a troll. Now, I got to tell you something, folks. I might be a troll, but I damn sure don't know what a troll is. So it's kind of, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. So I've been called more than that, I'm sure, and not shocked. But anyway, this entire effort that I am putting forward here is stemming from my concerns for the environment there atop of Mauna Kea, the environment down below in the lower hills and valleys where the palila and other endangered species or honey creepers, or birds, or flowers, or plants, or mamani, or nio plants, and all of that. So I'm quite concerned, and the motivation is not from an activist standpoint, but just the right thing to do. And so I'm alarmed when I see what I've seen with scientists who tell us that it's worth the sacrifice to be able to peer into the universe and see where we came from or what's out there that's going to eat us for lunch or whatever. I don't know. But why do we need to define and establish where we came from if we're going to spoil where we are? That's just a basic thought of mine. But I want to share with you, there was so many assurances that because this is a educational background facility that is generated and find its birth in the academic world of the University of Hawaii and Caltech and all of those things. But I went and I've since filed a number of requests for public records. And I want to share just a few with you, so give you some ideas so that you don't be caught in this sandwich of confusion in that it's okay to support the protesters and acknowledge what it is that they are saying. And now if you need proof, I got you some proof. But the issue is, one of them is preservation of the environment, protecting of the environment, the historical sites, and all of those things, and the cultural sites, and cultural concerns, and right to worship, and all of that. But it's being denied, and so I just thought, let me go on the hunt to find out how perfect are these people up here on this hill that's telling the native people that they can't speak, gather, and they're impeding progress and what have you. So I'm going to start with the USTs. USTs is not an STD, but it's a UST is underground storage tanks. And if you're above ground, you ASTs, above ground storage tanks. So what do this have to do with anything with Mauna Kea and this fight? Well, there are ASTs and USTs, and these are just basically huge steel tanks or fiberglass tanks or whatever the material they're made from. And the concern that I have up on Mauna Kea and then also the lower levels is that the use of and the placement of single wall underground storage tanks. Some of them are 2,000 gallons, some are 4,000 gallons, some are 12,000 gallons. Now, you don't hear that. You hear that we haven't had any spills or leaks or what have you. And what I've witnessed in this entire process is a tolerance for illegal behavior that is out of this world, beyond correctable. So I would advocate and ask the state and the governor and anybody that has any power to stop this process right now, because the actors and the players up on the hill there that own the telescopes or that are responsible are not good stewards of the land. And I will justify that statement by, in a minute here, reading you and conveying to you what I found in these documents. It's horrible. It's horrendous. And so why build another telescope if you have this kind of behavior that I'm going to share with you? That I was able to witness in these documents that we recovered. So the Department of Health is a state agency. The Department of Health's director is appointed by Governor David Ige, or the governor, depending on the time, who's in office. Mr. Bruce Anderson is... Dr. Bruce Anderson is the director today of the Department of Health. But Dr. Bruce Anderson was also the director of health back in 2002. And what we find is that some very nice, casual, cavalier behavior on his part, not holding people to the standards, the people, what I mean is the people responsible for the telescopes and what have you, and more of a protectionist rather than an regulator of these people. So this letter that I have here is the Department of Health is responsible for enforcing the use, the laws governing the USTs. And their concerns are, and these rules are not just rules that the state made, but they're rules that are the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, federal law. These are taken and adopted by state agencies. So let's look at March 20, 1997. This is a warning letter from the state of Hawaii, Department of Health, Environmental Management Division, to Mr. Ron Kohler at Mauna Kea Observatory Support Services. And the subject is Hale Pohaku Mid-Level Facility. I want you to listen to this, and when, please, if you're inclined to tell me that this is fake news, just go to hell. Just do what you got to do, but don't bug me with that. It's nonsense. And this letter tells all, and how the tolerance and the willingness to turn the other cheek or treat with kid glove, whatever you want to borrow to describe it, people being in bed playing footsies with one another. See, the UH is a state agency. The UH, and then to have these tanks, you got to have insurance to cover them liability. You got to have all that. But can the state exempt UH? Well, yeah, it's a sister agency. But the sister agency is selling out these rights to telescopes up on this hill. Now, what I found, documents here say that the UH had a telescope up there in 1960. The UST itself that was in place, a 4,000-gallon tank, was not registered. So they installed a 4,000-gallon tank, underground storage tank, and didn't register it with the state as we require. So this letter goes this way. Thank you for your cooperation with Mr. Richard Takaba of our underground storage tank section during his February 27th, 1997 inspection of the underground storage tank UST system. The inspection was conducted under the authority of Section 342L-7 of the Hawaii Revised Statute. During the inspection, the following violations now of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's EPA's and UST regulations, 40 CFR Part 280, were noted. Folks, this is no joke. This is critical. And so when the UH tell you that there's been no spills and we're on top of this and we're the best managers and we have the environment in hand and we can assure you there are no spills, please listen to this. And now I know it's dated 1997, but again, now we're talking about a tank that is suspected of being installed in 1960. And there's a debate whether it was closed in 1980 or 1988, but then it was finally closed in 2001, 2003. The records that we have is rather conflicting, and so is other information. But again, these documents are generated by people who are assuring us, all of us, that everything is copacetic and it's in order, the house is clean, there's no oil, there's no seepage, there's no dumping, everything is operated by the rules. So the inventory control, they say in this letter, a monthly reconciliation of inventory control records, UST1 of 12,000 gallon diesel, UST2, 2,000 gallon regular gasoline, UST3, 4,000 gallon regular gasoline, was not performed such that a release greater than 1.0% of flow through plus 130 gallons could be detected during any given month as required by 40 CFR. If that is happening and they're not keeping records, how can they guarantee you that the oil in the diesel or the gasoline in the tanks is not leaking? How can they tell you? And you'll hear the inventory volume measurements for regulated substance input, withdrawals, and amounts still remaining in the tank were recorded for UST, were not recorded, I'm sorry, this is recorded for UST 1, 12,000 gallon, UST 2, 2,000 gallons, and gasoline for 4,000 gallon, regular gasoline, each operating day as required for inventory control. They're not keeping records. They're not doing anything. So the tank could be leaking, and once it leaked low enough, they call in and have it refueled, and maybe another leak and leak. So there's no guarantee. This is what this document. Regulated substance inputs into UST 12 and 2 and 4, 1,000 gallon gasoline, were not reconciled with delivery receipts by measurement of the tank inventory volume before and after the delivery as required for inventory control. Product dispensing from UST of these tanks was not metered and recorded with the local standards for meter calibration as required for inventory control by 40 CFR 280.43. Inventory control records for UST 12, 2, and 4, 1,000 gallon, did not include monthly water monitoring to the nearest 1/8 of an inch as required by law. Inventory control records, UST, and 2, 12, and 4,000 gallons, were not maintained for at least 1 year as required by 40 CFR 280.45 subsection B. Tank tightness. Tank tightness testing conducted 12, 2, and 4,000 gallon tanks was not used in conjunction with inventory control and was not conducted every year as required. Yet they tell you, we assure you there are no leaks. But they're not keeping inventory, they're not keeping purchase, they're not keeping delivery, they're not monitoring, they're not looking at the tightness of the valves, they're not anything. They don't know if they have a leak, a gaping wound, or a hole. Written performance claims pertaining to the tank tightness testing system used to detect release from UST 12, 2, and 4 gallon regular gasoline and UST 4 regular gasoline, and the manner in which these claims have been justified or tested were not maintained for 5 years as required. There are no records. At this time, there were no records. This place has been operating since 1983 when they signed the lease, but before that, UH was there with the telescope, as it states, the records state, 1960. Tank tightness testing records for the UST 2, 12, and 4,000 gallon capacity were not retained until the next test was conducted as required by law. Automatic line leak detector. Documentation was not available for the 12, 2,000, and 4,000 gallon, demonstrating that an annual test of operation of the automatic line leak detectors was conducted as required by law. Written documentation of the calibration, maintenance, and repair of the automatic line leak detectors, UST 12, 2, and 4. was not maintained for at least 1 year. So they're not keeping records. They're only going on verbal statements as to what, but there's a variety of people working it, so nobody knows anything because officially there are no records. Line tightness testing was not conducted for the 12, 2, and 4,000 gallons tanks every year as required by law. Written performance claims pertaining to the line tightness testing system used to detect releases from UST's 12, 2, and 4,000 gallon capacity, and the manner in which these claims have been justified or tested in third-party certification were not maintained for 5 years as required. Line tightness testing records for UST 12, 2, and 4,000 gallon capacity tanks were not maintained for at least 1 year as required by 40 CFR. And then, as usual, this is what you find brotherly love in these enforcement records. Please correct the above mentioned violations and return the enclosed verification compliance status form to the Department of Health. Now, there is a verification form. We don't have it in hand right now, but they sent it back. But one of the interesting things is, here's a letter dated September 3, 1997. Thank you for your return of the verification compliance form regarding the underground storage tank inspection conducted by Mr. Richard Takaba on February 27, 1987. So what I found in these records also, the letters that establish and recording things, many of them are not accurate. They conflict with certain statements. One person would make a reference to let's say there's later on I'm going to share with you about a stockpiling a quarry where they stockpile dirt that they bring in or materials they bring in from down below a Hilo or wherever Kona wherever they bring it from, and this material now you see we're talking about tanks leaking and contaminating the upper slopes and the groundwater and the ground up top from the leaking tanks. But these geniuses actually have no safeguards at that time, had no safeguards, and someone brought a contaminated load of dirt from off the mountain, brought it up to the mountain, and used it to stockpile to put in as a bedding for a footing for the tanks that would be installed to make them come into compliance. And we'll talk about that briefly, and the contaminants that were brought up to the mountain to address the needs and the security of the UST. So, you know, the state, all of those things wrong. And what did they do? But tell them, thank you, make sure you look at, get this done, and now, these are people that know better. And these are people that supposedly has an NPDES permit and know about the Clean Water Act and have concerns about it. And they even have an environmental school at UH, so inexcusable. So that was September 1997 is the date that they received the verification. So 17 years later, folks, 17 years later, remember that 4,000 gallon tank that had been involved, that was decommissioned, closed in 1980, but really in 1984 it's conflicting. Then they say, another person say it was closed in 1988, but nonetheless, it was still stuck in the ground, and they were cited with a warning letter in 1997. But in 2014, November 20th, 2014, those same tanks are in place, and the same behavior is more egregious. And so it was so bad, that it stunk so bad, and it was so illegal that it even the state health department, as passive and as docile and as corrupt as they are, couldn't excuse this behavior. They had to do something. So what was that something? Again, November 20th, 2014. Now, they've already cited or warned these people about poor record keeping and not conforming to the law and applying, you know, common sense and all those good things, abiding by the law, obeying the law. This is what they write. The health department is writing. Stuart Hunter, general manager of Mauna Kea Observatory Support Services, Halepohaku Ranger Station. This is a follow-up to the November 6, 2014 inspection of the underground storage tank system located at the subject facility. The inspection was conducted by Mr. Roy Dennis Yaga of the Department of Health DOH Underground Storage Tank Section. During the inspection, violations of the Hawaii Administrative Rule, UST Regulations 11281, were noted for 12,000, 4,000, and 2,000 gallon underground storage tanks. Folks, we're looking at 17 years that they, from the date that they were cited but warned that they weren't keeping records and all. So they then tell them, we're issuing a fine in the amount of $1,800 and enclosed field citation settlement agreement. The following summarizes the violations that were found. One, failure to properly service or maintain release detection equipment in the time frame specified. Maintain leak release detection equipment. Now, they couldn't even keep that under control. Precautionary measures, they couldn't even implement those or follow the recommendation of the law, abide by the law. But these are scientists who stand there and tell you and make these polished commercials, and you got these wonderful people going, I was born in Hawaii and I feel like a new leaf because this grasshopper is going to eat me alive if I don't come out and say something nice about their behavior and how the observatory is going to make life better for us all. In the meantime, while you're here on the planet Earth, they'll pollute the hell out of it. But it's okay. Provides jobs. So when the people down below start getting cancer and what have you, think about your jobs. It's I guess if it's okay to, that's how you measure life, you get a J-O-B, and to hell with you and me. That's the way this seemed. But another citation was issued for $300, failure to conduct proper tests of our operability of a leak detector at least every 365 days. Now, they'd warned them in 1987 about these things, and to the date of November 20th, 2014, some 17 years they tolerate. And yet, you see the professional scientists, boogeyman, who stands there and tell you these Hawaiians are just making this up. We assure you we're good stewards of the land. They're just making these excuses to interfere with progress. No, they're making these claims because they know that you're lying and cheating and useless, and you hiding behind the skirt tail of the state agencies. You're no better off than the people that don't work for government that defraud the people, pollute them and poison the air and the land. You might have PhD before your name or DR before your name, but if these documents are product who speak to the behavior that you as leaders, then it doesn't speak well of you and doesn't say much for you. So the total penalty issued for this situation was $1,800. And this is, if you go to carolcox.com, I posted a few of the documents up there, and give me time because I wanted to make certain and sure that you had an understanding of this, and just, it's not the answer to all the questions, but what I'm trying to do is convey to you the, when someone give you an assurance that everything's going to be all right, because you can trust us, and I believe if there's a record, a paper trail, I think I can go back and reconstruct and compare your claim of being good stewards of the land and really look at the true picture. And that's what I'm doing with this this effort, excuse me. And not trying to win, lose, or advance any argument or anything. It's just that when one person in a capacity of scientist or chief of the telescope observatories or the governor or his spokesperson or spokespeople or whatever they, that, and everything is fine. You can just go back to bed and rest. We'll take care of it. Now you wake up, there won't be anything left. So there's the Mauna Kea Observatory Support Services, and they wrote to Mr. Jack Richardson on November 18, 1999. I have recently become aware of an abandoned underground storage tank at the summit of Mauna Kea. I do not know the exact history, but I believe that tank had been installed during the mid-60s for the University of Hawaii's 88 inch telescope facility, and apparently not registered with the state. The tank is 4,000 gallons and was used to store diesel fuel to generate electricity on the summit until 1980, when a larger generator was installed at a lower elevation. The larger generator had its own above ground fuel tank. From 1980 to 1988, the summit as generators were only occasionally used as backup power. Because it is limited use, the tank may have been filled since 1980. So these documents reveal a lot. I wasn't aware that in 1960 they were up there, and I sure as heck didn't know that they had underground storage tanks but didn't register them with the state. So what that suggests to me is that UH, because it is a university, and, you know, professors don't have an unethical streak in their body. They have a bone in their body, you see. They're all ethical, but you get so busy wrapped up in your own call of looking into the stars and gazing out into the universe, you forget that what you're standing on is this, the backbone of the Palila, the cultural sites, and all of those things, and you've contaminated them, and you're being reckless when the law says you must register your tank. And then, if nothing else, just to register with the local fire department so that they would know if they were responding to a fire, what it is that they were dealing with. Something as simple as that. But also, if you gave a number and assigned it and notified the, and registered it, then there would be a routine process or practice of checking the tanks and for their serviceability. But if you don't register it, you don't have to keep records because nobody knows, but you know it's there. Was that the practice? Hide and you shall seek to know what we're doing. If we registered, we would get a number. Then if we got a number, we would have to do checks. We would have to make sure the pipes are fitted, make sure the steel fitting, make sure they don't leak, make sure that if it's a single wall tank, continue to inspect it every year, which costs money. So you see, they've been allowed to operate rather reckless. this is the kind of behavior that's tolerated when one sister agency regulates the other sister agency. Come along and find more egregious behavior and then only give it as a warning. Then finally it becomes so bad that you have to give them a citation. Now the question is, I didn't read any further. I do have the documents. We're going to look at those again to see if in fact there was a negotiated fee, a payment of penalties. So Mauna Kea is not the place, and the people that run it really are not the kind of people you want to take to church every morning, and because you might get struck by lightning if you're sitting there next to those guys. From what I read these documents, they mean well, and they cover their butts. They write more papers and documents than you. Some of them are in handwritten, and you talk about a struggle. You know they're doctors when you look at their handwriting. You think I was a doctor too, but that's a different subject. But here's 12-6-99. Ron Call wanted to know if we received the letter on the ban on UST at the University of Hawaii Telescope 88. The summit of Mauna Kea, dated 11-18. So it was closed. In this letter, it says the tank was closed, the 4,000 gallon tank was closed now, September 1988. The earlier letter said 1984. Another letter said it was closed, hadn't been used since 1980. These are official records that the state health department is regulating and managing the underground storage tanks, and this is the information that they are getting. It's inconsistent. One report could be 2 days ahead of the other, and it'll conflict or contradict what is said. If you're listening out there, just got a text, go to talk808.com. Let's see, I'm going to post that up right quick. Pardon me for a minute here. Talk808.com. They're trying to get into the show, but I love this new technology, man. It is absolutely, it's amazing what you can do with the technology now, and it's all instant gratifying. You can't beat it. And when you don't like, or you learn that the regular media is not giving the right coverage, or the accuracy in coverage, or there's some reluctance.
It's amazing what you can do.
You're on.
With the technology now, it's all instant.
Yes. So the talk808.com is where we're broadcasting live right now. So if you not 1080 a.m. 1080 a.m. is no longer existing. We have the website still, but the radio station went through a different phase and different change, new owners. So this letter here is 12-7-99, and I'm just going to share with you. Ron stated that UST was last used August 1988, and that's another official. So what I'm saying, and this might sound petty, but you take one tank and eight scientists, intelligent people, giving assurances that everything that they're doing up on that hill can be trusted. And yet, take one tank, and it's not a mobile tank. It's a tank that's buried in the ground. It doesn't grow legs and wings and sprout wings and legs and fly away at nighttime and come back and embed itself. It's a steel tank, single wall, with about 30 gallons of crud in it from the impurities and the biological residue of diesel or gasoline or rocks and gravel. So how is it that one tank can have so many birth dates and so many death dates? The same tank. Back in 1980, 1960, 1989, 1997, 2014, 2003, and then they finally got it. There's a letter that says in 2003 they finally took it out. But in taking it out, they found that some of the dirt that was underneath it was contaminated. But then when they found that it was contaminated, they then discovered, and these are conflicting statements, so I may have sounded inaccurate, but I'm just repeating what I've gleaned from the documents that conflicts with one another. And that is the borrow pit, the place someone had stockpiled the material, and it was contaminated. So they don't know if someone brought contaminated dirt up or someone dumped contamination in the stockpiling area. Once again, that's the problem with this. This gentleman goes on to say, and he would send documentation on the closure dates. I told him if the UST was closed before December 22nd, 1988, that it was a previously closed UST, that they would be still in compliance. And why would anybody write such a thing when there is a UST that is not being monitored, records keeping, delivery of purchase of oil, filling, overfilling, all of those things, and you're haggling over some nonsense. So tank and piping and the steel fixtures on inline generator until 1980. Once again, almost a decade, they debating whether it was used, not closed. And yet, they're guaranteeing us that the area and their behavior is not contributing to the decline or the deterioration or to the demise of that fragile environment up there called Mauna Kea. So, in 2000, I'm jumping back and forth because one letter relates to the other months, years later. This is a response to a letter dated November 18, 1999 to the Department of Health underground search tanks notifying us your intent to close a 4,000-gallon diesel tank underground storage tank located at the subject facility. Folks, you heard me read the official citation. It was saved for gasoline. Now it's for diesel. Now, unless I'm mistaken, but the ID for that facility is 9603620. So that number, I've been tracing that number along with each document. So, once again, in 2000, after 1987, they're talking about this tank. So can we believe anything they say? Should we believe anything they say? We got stockpiling dirt or materials that they don't know where it came from, but they didn't know it was contaminated, but they use it in contamination. They didn't keep any records of any kind. All they did was when they purchased fuel and filled the tank up, didn't keep any records, didn't test it as required annually, didn't do a 365-day testing. Nothing. Now, you're probably sitting there going, well, gee, that was only one tank. No. what you'll find is that you won't find in the documents that we have, you'll find each individual that works with the tanks and all those things have to be registered and filed with the state health department. And some of those records are sketchy and iffy. But nonetheless, if this is the UH telescope being handled like this, do you think that UH is going to go and police the rest of the people when it itself is not doing it? So the whole gaggle of telescope owners and operators, based on what I see with the documents that then the behavior reflecting the behavior of UH, who is the leaseholder, the main leaseholder of this facility, Mauna Kea, and it is inviting others there. Do you think, and I ask again, do you think that they would in fact tell the other telescope people, you better come into compliance while we're not in compliance? Or do you think it's possible that they tell the others, just follow our lead? We are a state agency. We're a sister agency. Follow our lead. We don't do inspections. We don't do accountability. We don't care. And so why should you? Everything that happens up there, you find UH defending the people. Or you find the state, the hired gun, not a regulatory body any longer, but it's the chief bailer. The state health department on top of Mauna Kea is a bail's bondsman, so to speak. And the UH is the aid and abider. They are assisting these people in doing what they're doing. So, in 2000, they go, these are things that are just sitting in place now. Remember, they said the one claim was that it's been drained and been empty and hadn't been used since 1980 and 1984 and what have you. But then in 2000, they're saying contents pumped out in 1999, not used since 1984. Was used for generator. He is pumping, he is preparing bids to get the AUST removed. He will, there, some of this writing is just, you can't decipher it. Was out of use in 1984. Product prepared at last year. Pump last year. Oily sludge material. So they leave this material, if it was pumped out, the fluids, they leave about 30 gallons of oily sludge in the tank, not knowing if it's leaking or not. So these documents are very telling. I've shown you there's a number of spills just where not the tanks themselves, but just common spills. 25 gallons here, hydraulic fluid, 30 gallons here, 385 or 80 gallons of fire retardant here, and oil over here and there. But this is more serious because these tanks now, underground storage tanks, each telescope has associated with it underground storage tanks, or had. Then if many of them can't be removed and need to be demolished, but they can't be demolished because they don't have the money, what do you think is happening with the tanks? So, 2001 August, again, this tank pops up. Actual closure work will be performed by contractor with monitoring provided. By Edward K. Noda and Associates. The tank is believed to be a single wall steel with capacity of 4,000 gallons of diesel fuel. The tank was reportedly installed in the late 60s, and no plans for the installations are available. The tank was removed from service in 1984. So UH has had a luxury of has really been treated like a special child by its state agency, and yet there's only one environment. There may be a thousand relationships, but there's only one environment. So whatever goes on with these relationships, the environment and you and I suffer. It may be saving the taxpayer money in a sense, but you can save taxpayer money if you just follow the lead of the regulatory bodies and follow the law. That would save money too. And probably save some lives and some birds and plants and all the other things. And just make for a good climate, good living, good clean air. So, this letter is in response to a telephone report dated November 19, 2001 from Charles E. Brown, Agricanota Associates regarding the release of petroleum product associated with 4,000 gallon diesel. See, initially they thought it was a release, that the tank was leaking. Well, it could have been, but what happened was, again, the borrow pit. Someone stored contaminated material from below, they suspect, and dumped it, or sold it to them, or what I suspect is the way the state health department practices, that they knowingly delivered contaminated material, because the way the state health department, we've talked about this, play with the tier one and tier action levels, the EALs, environmental action levels. And the state health department is notorious for, and known for, making exception and exemptions and penciling in and using an eraser to increase the EALs to satisfy the political entity that needs a favor or need. If it's the military, they change the EALs. If it's a sister agency within the state, city and county, they change the EALs. Action level, which says that you can use this material for certain levels, and you increase the levels, the numbers. So what I suspect is that it was one of those actions that allowed them to bring contaminated dirt up there and dump it without any consequences or thinking of any negative impacts. Now, this 4,000, so finally when they get out, pull it up in the tank and get around to stop talking and chatting and all of this and proposals, a petroleum release was confirmed with an analytical soil testing during the assessment work for the tank closure. Confirmation results showed that contamination was below Tier 1 action levels. DAG's consultant is currently working on the closure report. You see, it's just I don't want to come across as trying to entertain you or win you over with long talks and conversation, but I believe that it's something to do that needs to be done to try and bring some sense of closure to this parade of clowns who say, we're taking care of the environment up there in the Mauna Kea. You don't have to worry about it. There are rules, and we have the state health department regulating us and looking over our shoulders and all. But it's one thing for you to have someone looking over your shoulders. It's another thing to have someone looking over your shoulder while they're holding a glass of wine. So, too cordial. Having such a cozy 5 o'clock party, stopping at the bar and having a beer, and proclaiming I got your back covered. Oh yeah, it looks official, but the willingness to just give a warning when there's complete egregious behavior, the behavior is so notorious that other people go to jail for it. There's a guy named Steve Swift who was just storing stuff and hauling some material to a dump that wasn't a dump, but a landowner needed fill. And they persecuted him, put him in jail, sent him to jail. Yet up on Mauna Kea, they're covering for them. So the analyte concern is closing in the UST is benzopyrene. That's the chemical that was found there. And it was in levels of exceeding the contents. So EKNA proposes to collect 2 grab samples from the 20 cubic yards of in-place backfill material from a depth of 1.5 feet. There's that fill again. So I love this, just being able to go and pull up the records. Enclosed is a copy of this is a 2002 letter from University of Hawaii Environmental Compliance Program. How about that? The University of Hawaii has an environmental compliance program. You wouldn't know it when you consider that they're getting letters like, you don't keep records and you don't monitor and you don't measure and you don't. And you know the sad part about this? They teach other people and send them out in the world. So if this is their ethics, the way they behave, the professors and the people that they're associated with the equipment and the telescopes, if this is their behavior, what do you think the students going to behave like? Just asking. Encloses a copy of the closure report for UST removal of the University of Hawaii Mauna Kea 88-inch telescope for your DOH facility. 9603620. Petroleum was found in the confirmation samples at levels below Tier 1 action level. However, one sample, supplemental backfill material, contained 2.07 milligrams per kilogram of benzopyrene. We're not polluting the environment up there. We found it pristine. We're going to leave it pristine, so they say. But this letter, in the words of the University of Hawaii, is saying and admitting, and then I'm going to be closing here real shortly. This is regarding the excavation of backfilling. Stockpile soils from the excavation were sampled and held for backfill. 2 stockpile soils were sampled, indicated the soils were acceptable for backfill. One soil sample was collected from the backfill material obtained from an area known as the Mauna Kea staging area before placement and analyzed for reporting purposes after the UST backfill was completed. The UST excavation was backfilled on December 3, 2001 with 50 cubic yards of stockpile soils and 20 cubic yards of volcanic cinder material from the Mauna Kea staging area. See, there's so many inconsistencies. One letter says they used 20 cubic yards. This one says they took 50, but then did they sample the backfill, the quarry area? And that report was a USD closure report, University of Hawaii Telescope Mauna Kea. When the University of Hawaii admits that it's doing something wrong or something is wrong, you have to accept it for what it is in writing. So anyway, there is some egregious behavior being tolerated and allowed up there. We need to keep our eyes on it and don't dismiss the people that are protesting. From what I see, the records, the lack of records, the failure to keep records, the failure to report, and the fact that the main lessee, the person that's, or the entity that's doing all of the inviting and speaking and covering for the new lessees or sub-lessees, if the lessee, UH, is wrong and operating illegally and questionably, then what are we supposed to do? Just turn a blind eye to the whole mountaintop and be told that the people that are protesting are just making it up. So anyway, again, some ask, well, why are you supporting the TMT protesters? I applaud them for what they're doing because the state does not listen. The state will lie to you. They are lying to us. The governor wants this to get done. Every governor has a legacy in mind. He's not going to do anything but cripple and poison the environment up there, in which he has done, as the others have before him, have tolerated such behavior. I believe that nothing should be built on that mountain, and if they do decide to build it, there should be a different approach and screening and in transparency. The records right now, you got to beg to get records, and you got to wait to get records. So it's the whole thing is fragmented and it's corrupt. So power to all of you out there that believe in protecting and preserving. You're on the right trail. I don't know what all you use to justify, but you're doing the right thing because our leaders are not protecting our interests. They're looking into the future while standing on our heads in the past, and that's just not going to do. So take care, and we'll see you again, Carol at carolcox.com. You can pull up a few of the documents. I'd be happy to share with you any of the documents you like. You provide me a thumb drive or SD card. I will copy and provide them to you, and then you can see for yourself. Okay? Aloha and take care.